I need to apologize to the audience. I screwed up. And I screwed up in a very big way.
How?
Because I hold myself accountable sometimes for what you guys say. And, like, if you say something wrong or incorrect, I hold myself accountable that I'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't fix it immediately, that's on me. So I'm apologizing for something that was said on the radio in the last 5 minutes that I should have fixed immediately, and I did not.
No biggie.
And so I want to apologize. Mm-hmm. Now, before I tell you what was said and how I possibly missed it and why the audience deserves that apology, any idea about what may have been said in the last 15, 20 minutes of our radio program? If you're just tuning in, you can play the game by rewinding on the Odyssey app. That was so dumb that one of us needed to correct, and it was my job to do it, and I never did it, which I feel bad about.
No.
I'll narrow it down. Oh, you have a guess, Tommy? Go ahead.
Is this something you said that was dumb, or
it
one
was
of
not.
Us?
It was something one of you guys said that I hold myself responsible for not fixing immediately.
Well, it definitely wasn't Tiki. He's the smartest guy in the room by a large part.
It was not Tiki Barber. You have been exonerated, sir.
Oh, thank God.
I'm gonna take. I think it's Sean, but I'll take ownership and say it was something I said.
It was something Sean Morash said.
Okay. Oh, come on! What kind of day?
It's a day. It's a bad day for you, Sean.
I just wanted a good day, Tiki.
Right? It's Friday. You get in the pool this morning at least?
I did.
Okay, there you go.
I did.
But Sean, I just said, like, I blame myself. I don't even blame you.
No. You should have to blame yourself. If I say something wrong, I got to take ownership.
But the reason why I don't blame you for saying something this wrong is I think he was emotional. He's very upset about the Yankee lineup. And if you're just tuning in, the Yankee lineup doesn't include Jason Dominguez, who's coming off a four-hit game 2 days ago. I don't know why I call him Dominguez. Is it Dominguez or Dominguez?
You actually might technically be
right. Yeah, I think you're probably saying it because of your Spanish influence from your household.
I'm Hispanic, so yes.
But it's universally just Jason Dominguez.
Okay. Anyhow, Jason Dominguez is not in the lineup after a four-hit game, and Sean rightfully so is pissed about it. I am as an IBO.
Yes, as have been a couple of callers.
So in his haste of being angry, he had an idea of playing left-handed Trent Grisham at second base. And the reason why ownership over this is I'm a lefty. I am a lefty. I raise my hand.
That's a good one.
I wanted to play second base in Little League. They never let me because I was a lefty.
Because you can't get the ball in the hole.
Yeah. And by the way, before anyone makes a joke, it's because you suck defensively. I was actually really good defensively. I ended up playing first base. So it's not even like an anti-Evan doesn't know how to play joke. I couldn't hit. I could field.
Yeah, but and your glove hand is the right side.
Right. So it wasn't anything personal. It was the lefty stuff.
Uh-huh.
So for me not to immediately, A, remember that Trent Grisham throws with his left hand, and then, B, call out Sean for actually suggesting Grisham should play second base when that is not a thing in this world is completely on me. In fact, here's how much I hold myself accountable and not Sean Morash. I'm going to put the L on me.
Wow. No, I don't do that because you're going to make me feel guilty.
And take the L.
Damn right. You know what?
Because you're the baseball savant, and that's the Yankee L, too. That's not even the Met L. That's the Yankee L.
Yes, I'm wearing the L because I apologize for, A, not just immediately calling it out as a baseball fan, but more importantly than that, I lived a life in which I allowed to play second base.
Personal.
Yeah.
So has there never, ever, ever in the history of Major League Baseball been a left-handed second base?
I'm sure we could find the random late in the game move that was made.
But it's an extra second to turn around and throw the ball. You're right. I'm going to, before everybody screams and yells that I don't know baseball, and I'll explain, I wasn't thinking about left-handed, right-handed. Had I been, you're right, I would have seen it. I was just thinking, if we've gotten so kooky and crazy with the Yankees, with pictures of Paul Goldschmidt warming up at second base and Jazz Chisholm going from second to third, that I am trying to proactively think of ways to get the best people
now,
in the lineup.
I'm sorry. You probably don't have the answer because you're too young. I know BT would. BT would have this answer. He's the one guy, if I had to phone a friend, I could ask. I've always heard the legendary story that Don Mattingly played a couple of games at third base and even a game at second base. Mm. What I've never understood is why. So I'm going to have to phone a friend at some point and ask him what the backstory is about that, because obviously Donnie is a lefty.
Yeah.
So when you ask that question, hey, a lefty's never... I always hear the story of, well, you know, Don Mattingly played third base, or Don Mattingly played second base that one time. I just don't understand necessarily what the context was of it, but that did happen. But in general, no, they don't. So it's okay, Sean. This is what I'm
going to
have
to get
for you.
Deeper into the rabbit hole, because in addition, the second basemen are usually right-handed. Only four left-handed throwing players have ever played second base in Major League Baseball since 1950.
And yet, this guy wanted Trent Grisham to do it.
But it doesn't give me the four.
Oh, I'm going to have to look. Go down that rabbit hole, Teak. But I'm going to wear this out for the next 5 minutes, and I'm taking it off.
Don Mattingly actually played one third of an inning at second base.
Did you not just hear the last conversation?
Yeah, no. You said you're going to look it up.
No, I said I wasn't going to look it up. I said, I know he's done it. We should just ask BT because I know he knows because he's a Don Mattingly, sycophant.
The factoid on when he did is what's funny.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
It was in the resumption of the Pine Tar game.
Oh, really? It starts to come together then.
Because their normal second baseman had been put on the disabled list, and the center fielder in that game had been traded a week earlier. So they put Ron Guidry in center and Mattingly at second.
Wow. What about the third base stuff that he did? Because I remember hearing that one like in the mid-80s. Like, oh, Donnie played third base. And I never understood, like, okay, well, why? Was that a thing?
Yeah, I got to find it.
Here are the four. Don Mattingly.
Yes.
Gonzalo Marquez.
Mm.
Sam McDowell.
Sam McDowell? Wasn't he like a Washington senator 100 years ago?
Probably. Oh. And George Crow.
How about that? And yes.
There's one more. The most recent one. Anthony Rizzo.
Oh, that doesn't count.
The Rizzo.
Because of defensive.
I think, wait a second, Tommy knows this. Didn't one year he end up qualifying for second base because of that?
Sure did.
In fantasy?
Absolutely, 100%.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cheap. The complete manipulation.
That is so cheap.
Complete manipulation of the rules.
Evan, as being one of the more famous lefties in histories, you had this platform for the last 20, 30 years. Did you ever think to fight against, which is clear discrimination against lefties in baseball?
So
why can't there be infielders besides first basemen that are lefties?
There can't be because it's just more difficult to turn the double play. No, it doesn't make any sense. Here's the one I do want to fight, though. That's not the one, because I understand why it doesn't make playing the position easy. The one I don't understand is catcher, because the argument I always heard was, well, because when you're throwing back to the pitcher, most hitters are righty, there's a chance you're going to hit him in the head. And it's like, well, wait a second. First of all, there's a ton of left-hand hitters.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. So I have understood why lefties don't play second base, shortstop, and third base. And no, I would not fight it because I get it. Like, I'm not going to fight something where I completely get it.
You get it.
It sucked. I didn't like it as a kid, but I get it. The catcher thing I do not understand.
Is that still a thing?
When's the time we've had a left-handed throwing catcher?
It's a good question. Now, I'm trying to envision any of them.
Well, believe it.
Especially with the Yankees and the Mets, they're all righties.
So I can't cite Major League Baseball, but I used to run a baseball league for a very long time. Shut down this year. Twitter baseball, then later known as fan baseball. And in that league, we had a team named the Bros, named aptly after Joe Beningo. And I'll give this guy a shout out. I think he still listens. We had a catcher, really good player. His name was A.J. Frey. Sounds like a real baseball player, right?
There are no left-handed catchers in Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah, I told you. A.J. Frey for the Bros was a left-handed throwing, right-handed hitting catcher. And I was like, what the hell is this? But it was awesome. Like, it was so inspiring to see a left-handed catcher. And he was good.
Right.
He was one of the best athletes. So shout out to A.J. He is my inspiration because no one else has ever done it like Tiki cited in the history of Major League Baseball.
The last left-handed catcher to play in Major League Baseball was Benny DeStefano, who played three games in 1989.
So it's happened.
It's happened.
I thought you said it's never happened. All right.
Well, no, there's none now.
None now.
There are currently no left-handed catchers in Major League Baseball. The last one was in 1989.
Crazy.
Wow.
There you go. All right, so bottom line is I wore my L long enough.
Good for you.
Sean's apologized. He's kind of dumb sometimes, but it's okay. Yeah. He was very emotional, and now we can move on with our day.
Real quickly, speaking of catcher, the Yankees are going to continue to play a man down on the roster for the next 2 days. J.C. Ascara is not being put on the paternity list, although he's not here. The two guys they were going to call up, Braden Shumack, just got hurt yesterday, and Everson Pereira was their next option to call up. He has now also been placed on the paternity list at AAA. Mm. So the Yankees are without anybody to call up the next 2 days, and they're going to wait for Ascara to turn Sunday.
All these guys babies at the same time.
Yeah, a lot of humping.
You know who else had a baby today?
Ooh.
Teddy Swims.
Did he? Congrats to Teddy Swims.
Very cool. Good for him.
Yeah.
Well, at least they're having their babies in late June and not early October.
I know. I hope his baby doesn't lose control.
Nice.
I like that one.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. What's up, Dave?
Hey, before I get to my point, guys, I don't know, Evan, if you ever got to the casino or the blues club that I told Tiki about when you were over in London.
No, I did not get to a casino or a blues club over there, but maybe the next time I go, I will.
Mm-hmm.
So Tiki dropped the ball.
Well, I don't think I was ever going to be able to go anyway, so Tiki didn't drop anything.
He wasn't going to go.
Well, do you have any advice for France or Italy while I'm out there? Maybe I'll take up your advice now.
Well, my wife's from a tiny little town, but you wouldn't want to go there, so we'll move on.
Fair enough.
So I take exception to the conclusion that you made with Severino on the mound in Oakland. I usually really admire your statistical knowledge and conclusions, but how can you conclude that he doesn't like the food or his mound when you don't look at the teams he played and their records home versus away?
Because those extremes, and for those that are just tuning in, much earlier in the show, we were talking about Luis Severino, who's actually going to face the Yankees this weekend, and is a guy that would actually make sense for the Mets if they want to bring him back, because he's become, over the last year and a half, a very reliable, you know, innings guy.
Right.
And what I cited was his stats are not good. He has a high 4 ERA, but if you look at his splits home and road, they're extreme. Like at home, he has an ERA over 7, and on the road, he has an ERA under 2. So he's saying, well, why don't you cite who he was facing on the road and home? So that's a fair question. Let's see if he's beaten any good teams on the road with those great numbers. 6 scoreless against the Mariners. They're okay. 8 innings, 1 run against the Brewers. They're really good, or they've been good. 5 innings, 1 run against the Rangers. Okay, they suck. 6 scoreless against the Giants. I think they're a playoff team right now.
Yep.
6 innings, 1 run against the Astros. They lead the division. And then 7 2/3 innings, 1 run against Kansas City. So it doesn't really work. Your point doesn't work. It's not like he's beating up on crappy teams. He's, for whatever reason, he's a lot better on the road than he is at home. So the only logical conclusion one can come up with is the mound, right, or the stadium or whatever. But my point is,
it feels like a minor league stadium.
Yeah.
And so you pitch like a minor leaguer.
Yeah. I mean, he has a 4.8 ERA, and I'm just saying, don't look at his ERA as totality. You should look at what he's doing at home and on the road, and you notice that on the road he's an elite pitcher, and at home he sucks. I think that's fair to look at. So what I think our last caller did is he made the assumption. I didn't make the assumption. I'm just using logic.
He just wanted the information, so you gave him the information.
And what do you do with that information?
You just stand corrected, or sit, or listen, or whatever.
What do you think of it, though? You're not concerned about Seve. Is that your point?
No. I think there obviously is an issue out in Sacramento.
Yeah, that's enough of a sample size to say something's going on.
Because he's a good pitcher. We saw it a year ago.
Yeah.
And we see it on the road.
And
we
just
don't see it at home.
And you know what Seve does? Like, even in the outings where he hasn't been good, and this is where he would bring a value to the Mets if they're willing to bring him back and they're willing to pay the salary, he gives you innings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pitching 6 innings, there's a value to that. Even if you gave up 4 runs. Like, I know that's not good, and that's like a bad ERA, that's a 6 ERA. But pitching 6 innings, there's a value to it because you're not taxing your bullpen and asking for 4 or 5 innings from your pen. Let's go to Tom in West Babylon. Hey, Tom.
Evan, Tommy, Tiki, I like your shirt, but
thank you.
It's gotta go to Sean, baby, my hometown. Just look at that. I can't believe this.
What?
But let's get over to the Yankees. I'm a Mets fan, but I think these managers, I don't know what's going on, but what are they doing? 4 for 5, you're going to sit a guy?
Yeah.
Could he do that in a couple of days when they're playing the Mets? I would love it.
You know what I think it is? I think managers in general, and Boone's certainly one of them, I don't think they believe in hot streaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really don't. And I think that's
it's
a shame.
Not important.
Yeah.
But what's important then?
Pitching matchups specifically, like how one does against a certain pitch that the opposing pitcher's throwing.
So analytics.
Yeah.
So analytics is more important than development of Jason Dominguez.
Or analytics are more important than believing in someone is hot right now.
Yeah.
And when you have a 4-hit game, like, I know it's only one game, I would want to reward that guy. And I got to give the Mets a little bit of credit. This is where the Mets don't follow that completely.
Right.
Though sometimes they do and I get annoyed.
You're going to say Mauricio, right?
I think Ronnie Mauricio is going to be sent down.
Yeah.
And what happened is he had a double in game 2 of the Atlanta series in the 9th inning against a good pitcher in Raisel Iglesias. And he built off of that. And then he had a few hits the next day and one hit yesterday. And instead of Mauricio going down to the minors, Mendy and Stern said, you know what? He's kind of hot. Let's see if he can keep this going. And by the way, no harm, no foul. Because if in a few days he looks overmatched again and they're like, you know what? He doesn't give us the best chance to win, they can send them down.
Right.
They're allowed to do that. And I fully believe, even though the Mets haven't said this yet, that the reason Ronnie Mauricio is still here is because of the last 3 games. So they do, to a degree, believe in hotness. Aaron Boone doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because why else are you sitting a guy coming off a 4-hit game?
Right. Sean, that last caller, he gave you a shout-out. Why did he give you a shout-out?
I realize now I'm wearing a West Babylon football shirt.
Oh, shout-out West Babylon.
Oh, he was complimenting your shirt.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing a New York Roadrunners Team for Kids shirt.
Very nice.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
Very nice.
No, there's no Roadrunner. That's just a man running.
Oh, not a, what is the Roadrunner?
A coyote, no,
He's the character in Looney Tunes.
But what is he?
An ostrich?
I don't even know.
Think about it. He's like a bird with a toy
neck. I think a roadrunner is a roadrunner.
No, no, no. It's not a real bird. It's a bird that runs fast.
No, I think the actual name of the bird is a roadrunner.
Yes, it is. The roadrunner is an animal.
But is it an actual animal?
Yes.
What does it actually look like, though?
Kind of looks like the character. I'm looking at a picture now.
Wow, where are those things
just smaller.
Around?
They're smaller
than they're
either.
In the desert. I think they're in the deserts like Arizona. And
really?
And they're called Roadrunner.
I should know that.
I'm surprised like you guys were confusing me. I'm like, that's what they're called. What do you mean, what are they called?
Because you go to a million zoos, you never see a Roadrunner. How many flamingos you need?
Maybe you're not going to the right zoos.
Or if you saw a Roadrunner, you wouldn't even know you're looking at a Roadrunner because you didn't know a Roadrunner existed about 3 seconds.
It is really small. It doesn't have the big feet like the cartoon character.
Do they run fast?
I mean, obviously.
I would assume so if they're called Roadrunners.
I mean, geez.
I mean, let's go to Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Ozzy?
Sean is in a lot of zoos. He may not go to a lot of zoos.
What's up, Ozzy?
I got another scenario where we can either blame Sean or Evan.
Go ahead.
For you. But first, if he could have yesterday, Pete Alonso would have hit Tommy with the Trump F-bomb drop as soon as he mentioned the lineup idea.
Oh, absolutely.
Hard no.
Absolutely. Pete's a cursor, and I think he was ready to curse. I think he was also ready to, like, do a wrestling move on Tommy. But Pete showed restraint because he knew, all right, you know, it's radio. I got to be nice. I don't want to really pummel him. But, yeah, I thought Pete was going to assault you.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing.
But now you got it, Ozzy. There you go.
And Tommy, someone was cruel and replayed that interview right before your little JV filler show, just to remind everybody of exactly what happened to you with Alonso.
Yeah, that's why we did it. We did it for that exact purpose. Good call, Oz.
And Sean pointed it out. Alonso's face said it all. The look of disgust. You know what? And this is apropos right before we head into the 4th of July week. It's the same look of disgust I get whenever I see that A-Rod banner covering up our red, white, and blue. This needs to be fixed right now before we honor America's birthday.
That is true. That is actually my fault because I put the... We have it. So our studio, and I guess you could see some of it on SNY, but if you're listening on the radio, I'll describe it. We have the A-Rod banner, which has been up since February 16th, 2024, honoring his number. We have an American flag that I brought in. I just don't remember why. And it's kind of behind the A-Rod flag. And then there's Boomer and Phil Sims. And then there's our scoreboard that says the Lugash Debate Series. And the flag is kind of blocked. So I think that's a great point by Ozzy. And Tiki is getting up right now. He is moving Boomer. He is moving Phil. He's treating them nicely. He's moving them nicely. And now he's pulling over the American flag and giving it its full view. And now the American flag has been fully exposed to our audience. It is blocking the Lugash Debate Series scoreboard, which is okay.
It's good for Tommy.
Good for Tommy, since he's losing 8-6. And we don't need the scoreboard unless we're going to whip it out for a Lugash Debate Series. So Ozzy, for the first time in his history of calling WFAN, was actually very productive. It helped us clean up a little bit around here.
He needed that one. Oz needed that one.
That's a good victory for Oz. Now, Tiki is struggling to hook the flag up since it was just laying on, I guess, the board that we had for Tiki Jeopardy, which occurred a few months ago. But now he's setting it up beautifully, and we have a great American flag. We're very patriotic. Good job, Tiki.
Speaking of patriotic, Evan, you are leaving the country on the 4th of July.
Now, both are included. You have A-Rod Day banner right next to the American flag, and Boomer and Phil peeking over top.
Boomer and Phil peeking over with my book.
Holding my Mets Bible.
And I like the way that's set up. I'm sorry, you were asking about me leaving the country?
Just because we have to keep up with all the bookkeeping before we go. Are there allowed to be Lugash debate series in your two-week European vacation?
1,000%. The show goes on. Everything remains the same. In fact, it's funny you ask that. So earlier this morning, I was finding old tweets from Posted and Toasted. I was kind of filling the tank of old posts. And I was about to text you guys and say, hey, while I'm gone, would you like to play?
Sure.
Here are some old tweets. So who will be the, will that be you, Sean? You want me to send you them?
Give me them. We'll have them guess. I think that's great, especially because one of the weeks you're gone conveniently is All-Star Week. We might have to play Posted and Toasted 5 times.
I got some good ones. The way I go about it is I pick someone who works at WFAN, and I just attack their Twitter feed. I search words. I do all sorts of stuff. So the guy I was focusing on this morning, because he's a treasure trove, is Al Dukes. Mm. I was all over Al Dukes.
He's the best.
By the way, speaking
so random.
Speaking of Al Dukes, Al and Jerry do the post-game podcast. Okay, is that what it's called? I want to give it its proper due. I think they have a they have a podcast. It's very good, very entertaining. I apologize for forgetting exactly what it's called. I think it's the Al and Jerry post-game podcast. And they were having a discussion. Do you have the audio ready of this one, Tommy?
I sure do.
Yeah, they were having a discussion. I love Al. They were having a discussion, kind of debating what everybody makes here at WFAN. And so it started like in general, like, hey, do listeners think we make more than we make, less than we make, all that kind of stuff. And then they started kind of banting around a little bit. Like they had an interesting discussion, who makes more, BT or Sal? Al was most fascinated by that. Like, yeah. Hey, you know, who is it? Jerry said he thinks it's BT, doesn't know for sure. And then this question was asked.
Who do you think makes more, Sean Marash?
Or Tommy.
Or Tommy Lugauer?
It's a tough one, right?
I don't know.
Tough one. They don't know. So, Tiki, would you like to play the game? Who do you think makes more, Sean Marash or Tommy Lugauer? And then followed up with, who should make more?
Do I have to give an answer?
Do you know the answer?
Probably.
Really? I don't know the answer. The hell do you know the answer on what everybody makes?
Because I'm informed.
Wow. All right, forget. Don't answer it then. That would be do you guys know who makes more?
We're talking about base salary or added incentives?
What is this, the NFL incentives?
Relax. I would say this. If I find out that Tommy's making more than me, all it means is, what the hell have you been mooching off me for?
You're saying that why I mooch off you?
Yeah.
Well, because I want free stuff. What is that? You find the richest people alive. They're the cheapest bastards you ever meet. Mm-hmm. I mean, rich people are usually cheap. They love free stuff.
That is very, very... I've noticed that. Like, really, really rich people. I'll tell you a story
about how they keep their money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll never forget.
Being frugal.
There was a really, 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 really rich guy. I'm not going to get into how I knew him or anything like that. But he was bragging to me about how he kept this all-you-can-eat popcorn box from the movie theater for 7 years. And
get
kept going
here.
Back to get it filled up. And I never said, wow, you're a billionaire. That's crazy. It was more like, wow, that's really cool. Uh-huh. And then he's like, and then in the seventh year, they said it's not good anymore. And I said, why is it not good? You said it was refillable forever. And he had an argument with the movie people.
Wow.
So Tommy is spot on with that. It's probably like how rich people become rich. Like they're smart. They're not throwing their money around like idiots. I'm sorry, just to get back to this when you have a closure, do you guys know who makes more or do you not know?
I wake up every day and I say one thing to myself. I say, I don't know and I don't want to know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave it at that, as Joe would say.
How about the Al and Jerry question about B&T and Sal? Who do you think makes more there? It's a good question. They were debating it. They had some really good back and forths about it.
BT's been here longer.
That's what Al said. Well, that's what Jerry said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards that. I lean towards that. The other ones aren't as fun. Because, like, Boomer makes more than Gio.
Yes.
You probably make more than me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is.
You've been here for 19 years, dude.
Yeah, but it doesn't... Tiki Barber! It
doesn't matter. I'm just a guy.
Now I'm curious.
Right, I was going to say, Tiki's informed on a lot of salaries.
Well, I have conversations with the architect about EBITDA and private equity groups. You guys are talking about, like...
Sports.
Can we have a free water?
Can we leave early one day?
Tiki knows, but great discussion by Al and Jerry.
Yes.
Either way, all I was saying is that I was searching Al Duke's tweets. I got plenty of his. Gio is golden, too. The problem I have is with Sal. Like, this freaking guy deletes tweets. I mean, it bothers me.
Because,
like,
he tweets a lot, and he just deletes them.
I know, but, like, Gio doesn't delete any tweets. I don't delete any tweets. Brandon doesn't delete any tweets. Clearly, he doesn't. None of us do. And yet,
and
Sal,
I don't tweet.
Right, and you did tweet a lot, but you haven't deleted tweets.
No.
I don't know about Tommy, because, like, your Twitter history is weird, so I'm not sure. Sean definitely doesn't delete tweets. And yet, Sal, for whatever reason... I don't know why.
No biggie.
And
why?
Yet he's critical of people's Twitters.
Is he?
Oh, big time. First thing I got today, he bum rushed me. Big
what?
Time.
He was mad at your tweets?
Yes.
What'd you tweet?
A picture of a Band-Aid on my skin saying this is what happens when you have kids, and he got all upset about it.
Well, Band-Aid on your skin?
It was a specific part of his skin. You want to share
it
with the audience?
I'll show you. I have no problem.
Well, I don't need to see it.
There's some things we can't unsee, so just tell us.
Oh,
fear of the mind.
Is man boob.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a Peppa Pig because nobody buys regular Band-Aids in my house. So I said, does any other parent deal with this? And he had an issue with it. I said, stop deleting your tweets.
If you need Band-Aids, I got you covered, because I had a radio partner around here. You may have heard of him. His name was Craig Carton. And Craig Carton, I swear, Tiki, and I forget the backstory on this. I'm sure you could clarify it someday if you actually care.
You probably don't.
Right.
He ended up trying to invest in like sports Band-Aids. So he's got Brooklyn Net Band-Aids, Knicks Band-Aids, Jets like Band-Aids.
Branded.
Yeah, branded. And so he has tons of them. And I remember he comes to me. He's like, you need Band-Aids? I was like, sure, I got kids. And he gave me boxes upon boxes upon boxes of Jets and Nets Band-Aids.
Which I've never seen those, actually.
Oh, they're all over. Well, do you want some?
No, but I'm just saying, it's an interesting concept.
No, it is.
I just never have seen any Giant or Jet or Knicks or whatever Band-Aids.
I like that. I could use them, because every time I get a cut, it's Elsa on my arm. Mm. I've had enough.
So I'm going to give you Jets Band-Aids.
That's fine.
By the way, it is contract season around here. You never answered the question, who deserves more, me or Sean?
Well, I asked Tiki that. Tiki didn't want to answer that.
Yeah, no comment.
He thinks it's me. He thinks it's me.
We'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. And one of the names you're going to hear a lot about at the trade deadline is a fellow on the Boston Red Sox named Jarren Duran. Well, he said something the other day that is going to make Met fans say, please, David Stearns. Yankees, A's on fireworks night at Yankee Stadium. The Mets are in Pittsburgh against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I think they're using their strongest lineup outside of the catcher, because Torrens is sitting for Hayden Sanger. But I was looking at the lineup. Vientos is back. He's DHing. Beatty's at third base. Mauricio is at second base. And Jeff McNeil's playing center field. I think that's their best lineup. Now, the manager of the Mets, Carlos Mendoza, has addressed the media. There's a few pressing issues. Number one, Griffin Canning tore his Achilles. So, Sean, can we start with finding out what the timetable is on Griffin Canning? Obviously, he's not going to pitch this season, but certainly want to know, like, what does this do to his career? What is the timetable for Griffin Canning?
Let's go.
Carlos, did you get a chance to talk to Griffin at all today?
No, I did not. I texted with him last night, and then this morning I texted back because he was going to surgery. So he already had surgery this afternoon. I was told that everything was done, and, you know, I haven't talked to him since.
Is there any timetable at this point for when, I mean, obviously he's done for the year, but when he could even expect to get back next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty significant injury, right? So, I mean, there's mixed reports. Could be 9 months. It could be more than that. So it's hard for me to sit here, especially when he just got done with the surgery. I mean, it's, like I said, it's a pretty significant one. And, you know, every athlete is different. So hopefully Griffin is one of those that can get back on the field sooner rather than later.
Yeah, my guess is a year, which means he could pitch next season.
Yeah.
I don't know what you could expect from him next season. And I do expect that the Mets are going to keep him. He's a free agent at the end of the year, but I would expect they sign him to like a one-year team option kind of contract so he can rehab with the Mets and then maybe be a part of the team next season. The other thing is, who replaces him in the rotation? Now, I was doing some gymnastics last night on the Rico Bronya, knowing, all right, they got David Peterson tonight. They got Paul Blackburn on Saturday. They got Frankie Montas on Sunday. Then they have an off day. They can bring Clay Holmes back on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. They got David Peterson, Blackburn, Montas. And then they would need to add someone to the rotation at the latest. They could also always insert this early and push everybody back. But the latest they could wait is to the second game of the Yankee series next weekend.
Right.
Did he give us an answer on who's replacing him in the rotation?
Yes, he did.
He gave us a name?
Yes, he did.
Well, before you play this, I'd like to guess. Now, they called up Blade Tidwell, but if he's replacing him in the rotation, I figured they wouldn't call him up right away.
Right.
They would call up just a bullpen arm. So I lean towards it not being Blade Tidwell.
Yeah, because it seems like you need to use Blade Tidwell to get through some of these innings that your now exhausted bullpen is not going to be able to do going forward.
Right.
Or I would guess, I don't know who it would be.
Oh, you know what? I changed my mind.
Is Manaea coming back sooner than we expect?
Not yet, because he still has to make that rehab start.
Right.
I'm going to say it actually is Blade Tidwell, and the reason they called him up is they'll use him out of the bullpen for a few days. And then, like I said, they don't need anybody until potentially next weekend. So I'm going to go with, who is Blade Tidwell?
Is the expectation now that Blade will fill that rotation spot?
Yeah, that's as of right now, we're looking at him. He's available out of the bullpen today.
There you go.
And then for him to take that turn, and he'll pitch against the Brewers series.
Oh, so they want to avoid the Yankees, which is actually smart. So what they can do is they could insert Tidwell against... Oh, crap. I hope they don't insert him Tuesday. I hope they don't do Tuesday, because you know what happens if they insert him Tuesday?
What's that?
Clay Holmes is going to miss the Yankee series, and then Sean is going to be like,
they can dunk at him! Clay Holmes is dunking the Yankees!
Is that so?
Yeah, but if Holmes pitches on Tuesday,
then I would feel better that he would come back and pitch the finale of the Subway Series on regular rest. So he's going to pitch against the Brewers. That would mean you're looking at him facing the Brewers, and then the Yankee series will be like Blackburn, Montas, and Holmes. Something of that nature.
Can I ask you, you threw a subtle line in there, and I just want to get the pulse of Evan Roberts.
Of course.
You said, I really don't want him to face the Yankees, and that's about Blade Tidwell.
Yeah.
Isn't the Brewers as a National League team the more important series?
Great question. It is. And I would argue that the Brewer games are more important than the Yankee games, 100%. The reason I say avoid the Yankees is I think when you're a young pitcher and you've only made a handful of major league starts, the pressure of the Subway Series is going to feel different.
Especially given where the Subway Series is. The Yankees took 2 or 3.
Yeah, it's a vibe, man.
Right.
The Subway Series has a vibe that's different. Like, the Mets are packing the house. We saw this last night. They announced a sellout against the Atlanta Braves. So it's not like it was last year or the year before where there's small crowds and then, boom, they play the Yankees. The game is sold out. But we all know that the vibe for the Subway Series is very different. It feels like a playoff game. And I think with a young pitcher, if you're trying to create an environment in which they have a better chance of succeeding, A, the Yankees have a better lineup than the Brewers. We can go to that. And then B, I think you want to avoid that. Though, I'll always remind people, because it's pretty cool, and I also have made a bet with myself that I can find a way to pull a Sean and jam Jacob deGrom into the show, no matter what. Like, can I find a way to do that in proper context? So I'm about to.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob deGrom made his Major League debut against the New York Yankees in the Subway Series.
And how'd he do?
He pitched great. It was actually very typical of Jacob deGrom. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
7 innings.
Mm-hmm. One run.
One run.
Loss.
Loss.
I could have predicted it.
Who knew?
Who knew that would be the trend? That only happened about 100 more times.
Yeah, who knew?
Now, those Yankees didn't have Aaron Judge in a lot of them.
That is true. Difference. It was a very, very different Yankee team. It was 2014. One other thing I do need to address, and we've somehow gotten away from talking about this for 2.5 hours. Yesterday, if you were watching the Met game, you may have noticed a few things. Number one, me, my wife, and my son having a very private conversation that a part of me wants to reveal what was said. Because the only reason I know when I was shown on TV what I was talking about or what they were talking about is because I didn't actually sit next to my wife last night. We went with a bunch of friends, and so we split up where she was on one end and I was on the other, and our friends left for literally a half an inning. And in that half an inning, my wife came over and sat next to me, and my son laid down on her lap. And I do want to reveal the conversation.
He was like upside down.
He was upside down.
I was like, what the hell is Jet doing?
I'm going to tell you what he was doing. He was doing God's work, because we have a dog, and I love Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish, just like every other dog owner, that our dog will live forever.
Of course.
That is the hope. But years ago, me and my wife had a conversation when she said, by the way, I love you, Evan, or baby, because she calls me baby. Mm-hmm. When Dudley's not here, we're done. Like, no more dogs. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I completely disagree with her. But I don't want to ever think about a world where Dudley isn't here.
Right.
And Dudley is getting older. And Dudley, by the way, is not the healthiest. Like, I'll admit that. And so it becomes realer as time goes by. But my attitude has been, why am I going to fight about this? Like, I disagree with her, but I'm going to argue about something. I don't want to argue about
just
it.
Just change her mind in real time.
Very good. But let's not say that out loud. So my wife comes over.
I've been there.
I'm sure a lot of people in the audience have been there.
Right.
That's why I say it. So I'm not saying a word about this other than we disagree.
Right.
So in this moment, Jet, unprovoked, I didn't bring it up, lays down on my wife's lap and says, Mama, can we get a dog after Dudley is no longer with us? And I'm like, I'm not getting involved in this conversation. Like, number one, I don't want to talk about it for obvious reasons.
Yeah, not at a Mets game.
I don't want to talk about it anywhere. Forget a Mets game. And it's Mets Braves and it's tight. Griffin Caddy just went down or whatever the hell's going on in the game. A, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to talk about something, A, I disagree with, and we don't have to have the argument right now. And then B, I don't want to think about my dog not being here. Like, we all get it as dog owners that the dog's not going to be there forever. But it depresses me. It depresses all of us. And so as I'm listening to this conversation, I'm like, focus, Evan. Do not get involved. Don't say anything. Nothing good can happen. And I am just focusing on the game. And the only reason I know this was the conversation that was going on when they filmed us is because that was the only moment she was next to me. So I don't know if you could notice my side eye of, don't get involved, Evan. Focus on the Met game.
And this is why Jet was upside down?
He was probably tired, too.
Right.
I mean, it was a long-ass day for him. I don't know if he was doing the extra cute to, like, convince her. That could have been it. I'm not sure.
So. I think so. Subconsciously, he was putting himself in a vulnerable position so your wife would feel more accepting.
Yes.
Of his argument.
Yes.
It's actually very brilliant of him.
If that's what he was doing. Now, he was tired early in the game, and I was getting concerned, like, oh, this is going to go badly. And then by the fifth inning, like, that second win came. And he was great the rest of the game, but you know the way it is with kids.
Ice cream?
Yes, ice cream.
There it is.
Vanilla ice cream.
That'll do the trick every time.
Home run apple. He was good to go. Now, as far as my hat is concerned, what's the problem?
Nerd alert!
I was wearing the floppy hat, or whatever the hell they call it, that
bucket,
they gave out.
Bucket hat.
The reversible bucket hat that my wife and son did get, that we also got from our friend Jeannie while we were broadcasting from the Cadillac Club. And I was wearing it.
So you have multiples.
Yeah, we got multiples now.
Nice.
I'm wearing the bucket hat, and all of a sudden I got people saying, well, you don't know how to wear a bucket hat. What do you mean?
You can wear it however you want.
Was I wearing it wrongly?
No, it just looked odd.
What? Oh, Tiki's
I'm
right.
A loser.
You can wear it however you want, but you also can't. Like,
why?
There's different ways to wear a bucket cap. The way he went about it is absolutely not on that list.
What does that mean?
Tiki wore it very cool in a way. I think me and Tommy were wearing it on air, which is all ends of the bucket cap are like completely pointed down, and you're kind of making yourself into like a UFO head, right? But then there's also like everything can kind of be like plucked straight around it, or everything can be folded up around it. The half and half doesn't
work. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I don't know if SNY has the picture. The Mets tweeted it out. I also have it on my tablet if you want to zoom in. But yes, my...
It looks like a fedora.
Yeah. The flop is down, and then the back of it is kind of like sticking up.
I think overall, the rim around a bucket cap at all times must be in the same direction, whether that's up, down, or straight even.
Yeah, you can't have half one way and half the other way.
Yes, otherwise you look like that, which is, Evan, I mean...
Yeah.
The Mets beat the Braves last night, and the biggest story coming out of the game was you not knowing how to wear a bucket cap. So just, I think that's a big-time take the L. You can't ask what the problem is. Society's trying to tell you what the problem is.
I don't see a problem, so the back of it is stuck up. Who cares?
Well, knock it down.
All I know is, what a great hat. Mm. What a great job by the New York Mets.
Great job.
Now, I commend the Mets. Great giveaway. They had a sellout. I now have to commend the New York Yankees.
Why?
And you may be saying, what do the Yankees have to
are
do?
Are they replicating a bucket hat giveaway?
No.
They did last year. It was nice.
And if they have a bucket hat giveaway, do correct me. They're giving away another kind of hat. And I got to tell you, I wish I was a Yankee fan.
Go ahead.
They're giving away a cowboy Yankee hat.
Get out.
Not the Dallas hat, like a cowboy hat.
Like an actual cowboy hat.
Yes. It's amazing.
Like 10 gallon?
Can you?
It's Wednesday, July
30th. Is it a 10 gallon hat? Or is it just like a replica?
It's like a straw
replica.
Yankee. Like so
it's straw? So it's not like.
There's a Yankee. There's a Yankee history to this.
Don't really go ahead.
For a long time at the old stadium, the Yankees did the Cotton Eye Joe. I think it was in the between the eighth innings.
I do remember that.
And they had a from the control room at Times Square, but it was really Yankees team. Cotton Eye Joe do it, and this was the hat he would wear.
Oh,
so it's like an homage to if you know, you know. That was the old Cotton Eye Joe cowboy hat, the straw hat with the Yankee logo.
It was funny. I remember Cotton Eye Joe. I think it got canceled, by the way. Like, I don't think Cotton Eye Joe's played anymore. If I'm not mistaken. I think so.
I hear it all the time at like christenings, weddings.
Then maybe I'm wrong. Google it. I thought it was canceled. Maybe I'm wrong. But I saw the hat and I was like, damn, that's pretty good. Now, when did you say that game is?
Wednesday, July 30th versus the Rays.
Are you going to that?
So I knew about this giveaway and it was one that I've pre-looked ahead to going to.
So here's what we're going to do because I'm here. I'm doing a show that day. I think you're here too. I think we got a full cog of show members on July 30th, which, believe it or not, may be rare coming this summer.
I think that's like the one rare week we are here.
So here's what we're going to do. Tiki and I will allow you to leave the radio program right at 5 o'clock. You take the train to Yankee Stadium. You give us a little hookup. We'll give you a microphone. And I need you to report from the line at Yankee Stadium as you wait for that awesome cowboy hat.
Okay.
Interview
18,000.
Well, that's what. That's why I got to leave early. Got to be one of the first 18,000 people.
18,021 and over.
Oh, that helps. That's a big help. Are they going to ID people when they give away the hat?
Boy, imagine telling a kid you can't have a hat.
You know the reason behind that? And I'm guessing and I don't even know.
Oh, it's presented.
Excuse me?
It's presented by Budweiser.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. The sponsor is probably an alcoholic beverage. And because of that, they can't have a 9-year-old wearing a Budweiser logoed hat. But you're allowed to leave early that day as long as you get the hat.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a second ticket so you can come back and give me the hat.
And you may say, well, what are you going to do with the hat? I'm going to sew off the Yankee logo.
Oh, come on.
And sew on a Met logo.
I would rather buy my own tickets or, a.k.a., just email somebody here for tickets than ever let you do that.
Is that disrespectful?
Yeah. You know, and honestly, nervy. Yesterday, did you see any fighter pushback when I was handing a Met bucket cap? What did I do yesterday?
You put it on?
Yeah. And did I bring it home and say, give me marker and let me draw Met logos on it and put a Yankee logo on it?
Nah, that's true. You're classy.
But he there was sleight of hand there that I noticed. You guys didn't notice. Positive Peggy, who was there at the Cadillac Club, noticed. He didn't really wear the Met hat. He wore the City Connect side, and he kind of pulled the wool over your eyes. He didn't wear... It doesn't say Mets. It just says NYC.
No. It's a reversible Mets bucket cap.
Right. And which side did you pick?
You three had put on the other side. The point no, is shut to up. Show what the do you reverse. Have?
No, it wasn't. What are you, if Calvin you, Klein, no, your fashion
we had
now,
a white
artist
shirt
now?
On, so we put a white, the white side
on. I'm not complaining about that. I swear to you, I looked at it, and if you three had gone with the City Connect, I would have flipped
You're
it over.
You're full of baloney.
No, because I actually care about when people give us something they're trying to prop it up and promote. I went, let me show the other side.
Hold on. Let me.
Oh, so that was intentional, you're saying?
I saw you three doing it. I said, I got
to
do that.
But we need to address something that I'm very confused by. You're saying that the City Connect side is not the Mets?
It says NYC on it.
I know, but they wear that like every Saturday. That's their jersey.
That. But to the lay fan or the casual person, they just see that and they say, oh, Sean's wearing a hat that says NYC on it, where he didn't wear the Met logo or the Met sign.
I can't give
you You're thinking too much as a sports fan here. Think about it as far as the Met logo and what the one side of the hat is, and also think the way Sean thinks. He's sleight of hand.
I think this is very...
Okay.
It's a desperate attempt to not hand Sean.
We called him out after the show.
One at a time.
I think Sean is softening on the Mets.
You think so?
I do. He's no longer a hater. He'll still troll them.
Yeah.
He is no longer the hater.
I got to hand it to him. He wore a Met hat. Like,
because the Mets have treated him nice.
Yeah.
Peggy, Dawn, they treated him very nice.
No, I got you.
He was sitting in right field in the Cadillac Club looking very comfortable.
He had a good time.
All night long.
And he wore a Met hat. You can't say he didn't wear a Met hat just because it was the City Connect side. Though,
and there was no troll.
No, it's funny, though, because I went back. I actually went back and saw a clip of the game. It had nothing to do with them showing me. My dad told me that Gary Cohen brought up my theory that the Mets were trying to stick it to the Braves by playing a night game. And well, so he told me that. He's like, not that Gary heard me. I think Gary and I think alike like that. So I went back. I was like, I'm so curious to hear this. And to find it, Gary Cohen also observed that everybody was wearing the reversible hat on the white traditional pinstripe side. And they couldn't find anybody with the City Connect.
Well, they didn't look hard enough.
They eventually did, and they saw a few. And I was wearing the white pinstripe side as well. And I think that even though it's clear that that's more popular, because I agree with you, it's traditional. It's the reason I wore it.
But if it was Saturday, they probably would have worn the City Connect, right?
The Mets would have worn those jerseys, yeah.
Right. And but, so every fan would have had on the City Connect side.
You think so?
Absolutely.
I think Mets fans agree that they want the traditional side, which is where I wore. With that said... It's still the Mets. So you wore the Met hat, even if it's not as popular as the traditional white. So you take an L, but I understand your point.
Can I quickly be rewarded without shouting over everybody? Because I really took notes there just to defend myself. He said that the Laze fan, we were on SMY, we were on WFN, and we were in Citi Field. There was no Laze fan that was observing me and that they all were well aware of that's a Met logo. Number two... Okay. The other reason I didn't fight it is, and I've made this point, my daughter played for the Mets in T-ball this year. I can't ask her to wear a Met hat and then deny one as well. And then my third point is...
You've been cleared already. Why do you have to keep pushing it? We all agree with you.
Because
he's
been reiterated. Sean hates the Mets. I don't hate the Mets. I laugh when Mets do Mets things. I don't hate the Mets.
Well, you do hate the Mets, but you illegally wore a Met hat last night. Good job out of you. Let's go to John in Massbeth. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? So, two things. One. You know, obviously, got to talk about my favorite team. But before I do that, heard you guys talking about the money you guys are raising for King Aaron Judge and what it should go to. And there's only one right answer, and that's Aaron Judge's All Rise Foundation.
That's a great idea.
That's the only answer. And I will even come aboard and match whatever it is. Up to a certain amount, just in case Positive Tommy, you know, decides to hit the Powerball. Just in case Positive Tommy decides to hit the Powerball one day, it comes in and just says Aaron Judge 25,000 times, you know, and then quits.
That's a really, John, John, that's a really nice gesture. Yeah,
we appreciate that.
And
that's awesome, man.
I think that's great, and I think it's a great idea. Because we had said from the beginning that the dollar we put into the pot, where should it go? And at first, it's like, oh, let's get a pizza party. And it's like, nah, we should do something good with it.
We can do pizza parties anyways.
Yeah, we don't need this.
Yeah, Adore LA will get us pizzas.
Exactly. So I agree with him. I think every dollar will be donated to Aaron Judge's. King Aaron Judge. You know what? Screw it. It's going to charity. Aaron Judge. That's two more dollars from me. I got to add that up. It will all go to the All Rise Foundation. And if John wants to match that, that's a good job out of him. So that was actually his best idea, which is why I cut him off. Because sometimes, especially on a Friday, you want someone to go out with a victory.
Right.
So instead of him then leaping
to Griffin Canning.
Yeah, to Griffin Canning and making fun of his Achilles. I was like, you know what? Let's end it on that.
Right.
So good job by John and Massbeth. And you know what? Aaron's going to love this because all of a sudden he's going to get like a check for $70.
At least he's coming from a good place.
You know what? Screw it. I'm up to $9 right now. Aaron Judge. I'm up to $11. I did that to pass you, Sean. So now I'm the leader in the clubhouse.
I don't like what's happening here because it's already been pointed out to me on Twitter. I've only donated a dollar.
That's okay.
So it makes it look like I'm uncharitable.
You are.
Well, no, I'm not.
That's okay.
It's just you and Sean have to always
one-up
each other.
You just do the right thing by King Aaron Judge.
But it makes it look like I don't want to donate now to his charity.
Well, you don't. I'm sticking to our show.
When it gets to the end, you just make a donation anyway.
Exactly. You know what, Tommy? Since maybe you make more money than me, why don't you just take up my part?
No, in fairness, I'm not going to make the mistake again. At the end of this, we can add whatever we want. But for now, it will continue to be an honorable penalty if you don't say his name correctly. I just wanted to be in the lead now that we started. Now that we started, we're in the lead. Okay, we're good.